You're listening to the Journey Podcast. Are you curious about the empowering journeys of individuals with disabilities who redefine what it means to thrive? Stay tuned for today's episode. Hi, I'm Petra Brunbauer, and with decades of experience with sadness, pain, anxiety, and stress, I finally figured out how to leave all that behind. And this podcast shows you how to break free permanently so you can reclaim your sanity and find the self-esteem and energy to go after the life you desire. With real talk about mental health, holistic healing, and the tough journey of coming out the other end, this is the Journey Podcast. Welcome to today's episode. In this episode, we embark on a journey of resilience and empowerment with our guest, who shares her inspiring story of navigating life with dyscalculia. Through her lived experience, we explore the challenges and triumphs of living with a disability, highlighting the importance of advocacy and support for individuals facing similar situations. Michelle Steiner lives with an invisible disability. She has articles published on the Mighty, Nonverbal Learning Project, Dyscalculia Blog, The Reluctant Spoonie, Calopina Collective, Imagine the World as One magazine, and Word Gathering. Her photographs were featured in Word Gathering Independent and Work Ready. Michelle works as a paraeducator in a school for students with disabilities. She lives in Pennsylvania with her husband and two cats. Here is my interview with Michelle Steiner. Hi, Michelle. It's so great to have you on the podcast today. I've been looking forward to getting to chat with you because happiness and success with disability is such a profound topic for our conversation today. And I think a very important topic that we definitely need to talk about. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I definitely appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you're here and that you had the time to join us today. And do you want to share a little bit about yourself and your story and how you came to do what you do today and what it is that you do?
Sure. Well, my name is Michelle Steiner. I live in the United States with my husband, Ron, and our two cats, Jack and Sparrow. And I work as a paraeducator in a school with students that have disabilities and some who don't. And I also have a blog called Michelle's Mission, where I blog about life with a learning disability and feature my photography. And I also have a learning disability. And a lot of my work stems from the experiences that I've had with having one.
Yeah. And so you already knew that you had a disability from a very young age, then, I assume. So you've been finding ways to be in this world and be present in this world and navigate this world, which is not really laid out, I think, too well for disabled people. So how have you found this experience and what made you want to start working with that?
Well, I was very lucky. As you said, I was diagnosed when I was very young. I was diagnosed in kindergarten. My kindergarten teacher noticed that I was having trouble with counting and I was having trouble with my eye-hand coordination. And I also struggled socially because I was my parents' first child. So I was an only child for a number of years. So school was really hard for me. And one of the biggest things that did help me was definitely my parents. They were always supportive of me and they went to all my individual education plan meetings. That was something that was helpful. And I also began to receive specialty instruction. I had to repeat the grade and I started specialty instruction in another school and accommodations. And some of the accommodations I had were having the test read aloud to me and having extra test time. And that helps my brain to be able to process the information. And my disability is in math, so I am hopeless in anything that is math related. I was eventually be able to be in all regular ed classes except for math. And I had a resource room where we would study, but other than that, I was able to do that with having the right amount of accommodations during my school years.
And do you find that these accommodations are readily available, or is this still a struggle that is faced today?
I think it's gotten a lot better. We've had legislation that has passed through where we do have to accommodate. And in the beginning, it was more for people with physical disabilities. And we've started to branch out to people that have other ones. But I think, and these, it can be difficult for other people to understand. Sometimes somebody that has a disability that you can't see as easily to do that. So we've gotten a lot better, but we still have a long way to go. And I also think sometimes people don't know how to accommodate. Sometimes we think something's going to work and we don't really listen to the person. We just think, oh, this is what you must need. And I think a lot of times too, people will try to limit somebody that has a disability. That was a big factor for me in school.
Yeah, that's true. When you say that, I kind of think of some incidences when I was in school where the support and accommodation were not readily available. And unfortunately, many children in the younger ages, they don't really understand what it means to live with a disability. And so they can be quite cruel when it comes to making the accommodations or being supportive. So what was your experience like growing up with a learning disability and trying to navigate your way in school and in a social life?
Socially, school was really hard for me, and the bullying started early. I went to a really small school district where they didn't really celebrate differences. It was, if you're like them, then you're accepted. And having my disability made me stand out. So the bullying started really early, but it was just mainly when I was in elementary school. It was more, oh, you're not my friend, or I don't want to play with you on the playground. But it got worse as I went through school. Academically, school got a lot easier. Socially, it got a lot harder, especially in high school when a lot of groups were really clearly defined. And I just didn't feel like I fit in with anybody. And I still had, obviously, I have the disability, and that made me stand out. And one of the things that really helped me was I started to reach out to some community groups that were outside of my school district that were nearby. I went to an art faith-based group where they did art activities, and I helped to write for their newsletter. And I found acceptance because these peers didn't go to school with me. I didn't have the reputation that surrounded me since kindergarten as being the one that went to learning support or had a disability. And when I did come and say that I had one, a lot of other people, they had disabilities as well. And that also helped me to reach out to other groups in the community. I found an adult writing group where people were just a few years older than I was. And that really helped me because I found some acceptance. And I still, 20 some years later, we meet once a month and discuss our writing. And we're also in each other's lives. And that has just been a wonderful experience with that.
Yeah, that sounds lovely. I wish I was support like that available sort of more frequently in different smaller communities as well. I think it can be very difficult when you feel lonely or isolated and need that support. Now, mentally and emotionally, how did growing up with a disability affect you in school or outside of school? How did you feel about that when you were younger?
When I was really young, I can remember just feeling really discouraged. I thought that life was always going to be this difficult and that I couldn't learn. And it was really hard. In fact, that was one of the things that my teacher said, we got to encourage Michelle to be able to do more for herself. So I didn't have a sense of learned helplessness. And it was tough being bullied and having people look at you like you were different. And my parents, they were able to, I still had to go to school, even if I was going to go and not do well on a test that day. They knew it. I knew it, but I had to go and do that. Or if I was having problems with peers, I still had to be able to face what was going on. That was really hard for me. I just oftentimes thought, well, my life would be better if I didn't have a disability. Well, the disability didn't go away, but things did get better. And I just wish I could have told my younger self that. Another big part was when the staff tried to limit me, that was also really hard too. I can remember I had a learning support teacher that thought that I could not go to college and told me that. And she recommended a trade school. And there was nothing there that interested me. But my parents encouraged me, and I found some agencies that were helpful on what I was going to do after school. And I had to get testing done all over again before I could receive disability accommodations at college. It was no surprise that I had a learning disability. And I can remember the psychiatrist putting on my report, most likely won't go beyond a community college. And just hearing that was heartbreaking. And then to go to college and people got disability accommodations for cheating. And I had another professor that told me, you're going to have limited job choices. And I was a really negative person for a lot of years. And sometimes we do see cases of mental health issues with people that have disabilities. Some people listen to some of those limiting views and they end up maybe having a job they don't want to have because they don't think they can do something better. Some of them end up with addictions. Some of them end up with a lot of mental health problems because of that.
Yeah, it sounds like what you're saying is that when individuals actually internalize what they're being told from people who don't actually even really know because they're not in their bodies, that can lead to very detrimental outcomes. So yeah, I'm very sorry to hear that, but I am afraid that I think that happens a lot. And it does happen, I think, in schools and in colleges quite frequently, because there's maybe a lack of education also, which you think, around disability and how it can affect people. And I think maybe there's also an assumption that disability must limit someone because it provides some sort of limits, which, yeah, again, goes maybe back to a lack of education around the topic. So what do you do now then to bring more awareness and to bring more education around this into the world?
One of the things I do is whenever I work with my students, I get that chance to be an encouraging person that gets to tell them, you can do it. And sometimes it's like, here we are, a recording of myself at that age. I'll have students that'll tell me, I'm stupid. I hate having my learning disability. And I get that chance to tell them they're not stupid and that their brain is just wired differently. And sometimes I get to share my story. And the kids all know, do not ask me for help with math. I can't do it, or they'll find out really quickly that I can't do that. And that gives me an opportunity to be humble and to show that there's just sometimes people that have limitations or just things they can't do, and that's okay. But I can help them in other areas with reading. And I just find it so rewarding to be able to help another student by reading a test and encouraging them and giving them options. I think that was one of the things that I did have a person that did encourage me when I was in school, and it was a student teacher. And sometimes when I was at university or even a community college and things were hard, I would hear her voice saying, you can handle college because you know how to study and work hard. So I really try to look at some of those dreams that my students have and think about what are some ways that can make that possible and give them the tools. They might get into that and think, okay, this isn't for me, but what can I go out and do? But I really want to encourage them. On my blog, I write about life with a learning disability. I do the everyday struggles that I face as an adult with one. And I also talk about things that have happened in the past. And I try to bring it together with it. Easy ways for people to understand. I'll do a lot of nature metaphors. So people might better relate to a flower that's blooming and just seeing how that might relate to having a learning disability. And I also love photography. I get a chance to be able to take pictures on a lot of my walks. And I have a little store where people can purchase my artwork as well. And my goals are to encourage, empower, and educate people on learning disabilities.
Yeah, absolutely. You're an adult now and you're looking back, and we're talking a little bit about your childhood and how that was. But how do you find that now as an adult when you navigate the world with a learning disability? I mean, we think of that maybe more in connection with school, but certainly that continues beyond school and when you finish university. So how do you navigate today? How do you experience the learning disabilities as an adult now?
I spend the rest of my life finding ways to be able to do things. I didn't grow out of having one. It didn't leave when I graduated. Some of the ways it might impact my life now or does, is I'm not able to drive. So my husband is great for taking me places. He takes me to work in the morning, and I have a great coworker that takes me home in the afternoon. I also live in a central location. I knew living in out in the middle of the country wasn't going to be a wise choice for me. So I'm able to walk to places I need to go if I don't have a ride, or if just sometimes I feel like taking a walk. I always enjoyed that. And on my walks, I get a chance to take pictures of those flowers. And I would miss those details if I was in the driver's seat. I'm also still struggle with budgeting. I can struggle when we're at the store, knowing how much money I'm spending. And that can really be a surprise when I go to the register, like, oh, how much am I spending? Which I'm sure is for everybody, but for me, it really is. If I use a credit card, it's more of an abstract concept. But if you give me $20, I can see the dollars and the change. So I have a range of what I'm using. It's also hard if we're out at a restaurant and we're tipping somebody, that can be hard. I have to use my phone to do that. Also, my hand dexterity makes things really difficult as well. It can be hard for me to unlock or lock doors, and I can't use a manual can opener. I have an electric one that really helps out. And some people also don't understand that with having the dyscalculia, that I also struggle with, I can't read the face of a clock. And directional concepts such as south, east, and west, and reading maps is also really difficult for me.
Yeah, wow. I'm learning so much as you're speaking. So many new things that I'm learning about. And so I can imagine that it's challenging trying to navigate in a world that's not really set up for when your brain looks at things differently. So that takes some work to try and put all that into place and find ways that will make that work for yourself. Now, you also mentioned that as a child, your parents were very supportive of you. Do you have any words of wisdom that you can give parents if their child has a learning disability and they don't quite know where to start or what to do? Anything that you would tell them that would have helped you as a child as well?
Just really encourage parents not to give up on their child. My parents didn't give up on me and advocated for me. And I'd also really encourage parents to explain their disability to their child's disability in simple, age-appropriate terms. My parents explained to me that I had a learning disability and I just learned differently. And being when I was heard in school about that I wasn't smart, hearing that somebody else, the right information, really helped me how I viewed myself.
Yeah, so definitely providing that supportive environment for your children. Now, I know that you're located in Pennsylvania, so are there resources sort of across the United States that are available for learning disabilities, or are these like very locally available and specific to the location where people live?
We have services when a child is in school. If they qualify with the 13 disabilities categories, they're eligible for an individual education plan where they can have accommodations, specialty instruction, whatever they need in terms of that in academics. And even if a child doesn't meet quite the category of having a disability, they can also get a 504 plan where they can still, we know what to do. Then some of those might be diabetes, seizures, things like that. That's not quite considered a disability, but we need to know what you're going to do in place of that. And I also, for adults, we have a program with our government, a federal program called Office for Vocational Rehabilitation, and they pay for testing. They for their services to see if you're eligible. And if you're eligible, you can get money for college. I was able to graduate debt-free from going back to school with that and also other federal programming. And they also can help out with job placement. I didn't have much luck with that, but there are other people that are able to get jobs with that. Any kind of service for adults, that's usually a really good starting place to go and look and see what the chapter, what it involves.
Yeah. So it does sound like there's some support available to help make your dreams come true. If you have something in your head that you'd like to follow, definitely don't give up on that. And socially, How do you feel now as an adult looking back? I know that you had a very hard time in school. So how has that changed and evolved for you as an adult now?
Learned that, you know, I can hang out with people that are going to accept me. And it was just about finding those people that were in the tribe. And I've learned that I can find people that will be like that. You're always going to have maybe one or two that don't quite understand it, and that's okay. I've also learned to surround myself with activities I do enjoy doing. I think that's really important. I think if I went into a group where we did math or had a lot of stuff with that, I probably wouldn't have a lot of fun with that. But I wish them well. It's just I like to go and do a lot of those activities. And I love having the chance and that choice to be able to do what I want. But I also think doing that social stuff, also what I went through, has prepared me now to be happy and independent, even if I'm by myself or something. I can sit with a book, or I can be happy with doing a lot of that too. And socially, it can also be hard if we're playing games. I will sometimes forget the rules. Luckily, I have really understanding friends that help me out. And don't ask me to keep score. That can be hard. And sometimes driving has impacted that. I've been really blessed to have the people that I hung out with since I was a teenager are really great on picking me up and taking me where I want to go. And that helps me to be, feel included. But sometimes if somebody has an event that's planned, that's outside of that little group, and I don't have transportation to it, then that creates a barrier. So sometimes we have people that really want to go out and do something, but unless if they don't drive, they can't get that out to that place unless they have somebody that can take them.
Yeah, that does sound complicated, especially if they were to live outside of a more populated center, like you said in the beginning, living out in the country or something. That would be challenging. And also maybe if you have children that then may need transportation more frequently or to different places. Yeah, well, I'm very glad that you socially found connection as well and that you found people who understand and support you. How are you finding the situation in general when it comes to living with a disability? Is there a lot of stigma or prejudice around when you first meet people that might just find out that you have a learning disability? They may not have been aware of it before. How do you find those situations and what is your experience with that?
Well, a lot of times people cannot see my learning disability. So I have a little more of a privilege than maybe somebody that has a wheelchair or a walker or more of a visible one. But a lot of times people will tell me, well, you don't look like you're disabled. Or especially if they know me for years, well, you're too smart to have a disability. You have a bachelor's degree. You've been able to maintain a job for 13 years. You certainly don't have one. That is one of them that a lot of people do with the hidden part. But people are starting to notice the limited hand dexterity. I was recently at the grocery store and I was unloading my cart. The store wasn't that busy. If the store is not busy, my husband usually sends me in by myself to be able to shop. And I'm just like, all right, I'm having a pretty good day. It's not that crowded. And I was unloading everything. And a woman came up behind me and she started talking with me. And I was chatting back with her. And all of a sudden, she starts unloading my cart and putting my stuff on at our lane. And I thought it was a little unusual, but I smiled and I said, oh, thank you for helping me. She goes, well, I like to help people when you look like you really needed it. And as much as I thought that was nice that somebody was trying to help, I just sometimes would wish that you would treat me like anybody else and say, oh, it looks like you have a lot of things, or it looks, do you need some help with that? And I could have politely said, no, thank you. Or depending on the situation, I might say, oh, yeah, sure, that would be great. But I think it's giving that person the choice.
Yeah, your own agency of deciding what your choice will be in that situation. Yeah, that almost reminds me, going back to where you said people limit you, mm-hmm. is taking away that choice because they think they know what the answer should be. So, yeah, it's very interesting that you say that. Now, you spoke a little bit about your photography and your blog. So Do you want to go over the offerings that you have available so that listeners can find out how they can connect with you or how they could get in touch if they'd like to maybe chat a little bit about our episode today? How can they find you and what do you offer?
I have a blog called Michelle's Mission. And on my blog, I write about my life with a learning disability. I have a disability forum where people with disabilities can connect. And I also have a little store where people can purchase artwork from the photography that I do. I have journals and I have prints that are available and other forms of art as well.
That sounds really exciting. And we, of course, will be linking to all of Michelle's offerings in the show notes as well. So be sure to check there how you can find her blog and how you can reach the forum that she was talking about and how you can connect with her if you'd like to chat more about this episode. Well, this has been another incredible episode, and I really hope that our listeners have appreciated and enjoyed our journey into happiness and success with disability. Thank you so much, Michelle, for sharing your story and your journey and your wisdom and everything that you have learned on this journey with us today. I really appreciate that you came on and spoke to us. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, I'm sure that our listeners are really going to enjoy this episode and really get insight into what that means, living with a disability and how that looks from the inside perspective. So thank you so much, Michelle. Enjoy the rest of your day and take really great care of yourself.
You too.
Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen in. If you enjoy the Journey podcast, please support us by subscribing, sharing on social media, and leaving us a review. We appreciate you. And you can find more of The Journey on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and our website, thejourney.com. Sending you love and courage, and see you next time.